going to put the baseball talk aside for a little bit and talk about both football and kids' literature, because I'm a lucky man. Joining me right now in studio is Hall of Fame coach, Mr. Tony Dungy, and his lovely wife, Lauren, who is his co-author on the children's books that they are going to author. First of all, I want to thank you both for coming in. Coach, ladies first, right?
Yes, sir. All right.
Lauren, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you very much for coming in. So we'll talk about the books first, and I'm going to pester your husband with a couple of NFL questions,
right,
if that's cool, too. I'm going to ask him about the books, but I got a couple of NFL questions for him. What made you two join forces?
Well, we're really excited to come together to write. When Tony was coaching with the Bucks, I had the opportunity to, along with the players and coaches' wives, read books at the school, the local schools. And one of the problems that we had was trying to find a good books with messages that would resonate with the readers, but also we wanted diversity in those stories. And so I shared that concern with Tony, and we decided, let's take a stab at it. Let's see if we can do this. So we have lots of experience with having 10 kids, and we great minds put together, and we wrote our stories, and we're pretty excited about them.
Lauren is a early childhood education specialist, and they gave me some promotional information, and they said one of the things you're attempting to achieve with the books is teach important lessons about character and integrity, competitiveness, and sportsmanship. So you get the character and integrity. He gets the sportsmanship and competitiveness, right?
Oh, I guess so.
Come on, Tony. Tell me, is she as competitive as you are?
Oh, no, she is. She runs triathlons and marathons and tries to get me out there with her. I can only go 5K and still can't keep up with her.
What ages are these books targeted for?
The books are appropriate for kindergarten to fourth grade. And the younger readers, parents will read them. We hope the parents will read to the kids, and then the older readers can enjoy the stories and great lessons in them and wonderful illustrations, too.
I was going to say, yeah, these are part picture, major picture books, but also with writing involved.
Yeah, and as Lauren said, a lot of it was to read to elementary school students, but get them to learn life lessons. So we wanted to be exciting and fun for the young kids, but also have lessons. And Maria Finds Courage is out. It's about a girl who her parents wanted to try soccer, and she's not too sure about it because she's only been a swimmer. But she finds out, hey, branching out, getting out of my comfort zone is fun. Austin Plays Fair as a young boy on a flag football team.
Nice.
The team isn't winning. One of the players says, hey, we can skirt the rules a little bit and win, and Austin has to decide if that's the right thing to do or not.
Now, Lauren, with these characters that you've created through the books, and you've got the first couple, Tony mentioned the names of the first couple, but you're planning on doing a whole series of these. How much did you take from personal experience? You mentioned a large Dungy family to tap into, but also the other children that you work with over your years as an education specialist.
We did draw on our own personal experiences with our kids and with children that we have worked with, that we have coached or mentored or worked with in the classroom. And we found that all kids experience challenges, but it's how you handle the challenges. They need the mentors. They need the coaches, the support to help them work through those challenges.
All right, Lauren, you first. When did you know in your growing stages, could have been as early as some of the kids that you're looking to reach out for, maybe a little later, maybe high school, maybe college, that this is something I want to get into. I want to work with children. When did you come to that realization?
I've always had a love and passion for kids. Growing up, we were always surrounded with children, with families. And so that was something I knew that, you know, in my heart, that once I went to college, I would be working with kids.
Very nice. All right. Now, Coach, same question to you. You, of course, went the athletic route, and you were a player, and then you became a coach. Was there a light turned on moment that you said, all right, I'm good working with younger individuals, be it either really young and writing books or young players coming into the National Football League and like, when did you go, all right, I think I'm up to the challenge of helping to mold young men. When did that kick in for you?
That came very early. I went to work for Chuck Nolan in 1981 as a coach, and it was. Your young players, you realized, boy, they looked up to you. They asked you questions about things, not just on the field, but about life. So it was early in my coaching career, I knew players needed guidance.
What was the toughest part?
The toughest part is you get close to players, and you do develop those relationships, and then something happens, they're traded, they're released, they sign with another team, and all of a sudden you're not, or you get fired like I did and you lose your whole team. But that's tough, seeing those relationships get severed.
All right, so he admitted he was fired. Have you ever wanted to fire him and just say, get out? Go, no. I got this, coach. I got this, Tony. I got this, honey. I hear what you're saying, but no, I've got the better grasp on this. Let me take this character in this direction. This will be the perfect picture for it. Any discourse during these efforts?
Well, I'd say in 36 years of marriage,
is that all? Just 36 years?
There were a few times.
Now, specifically for the book, as compared to, like you say, 36 years of marriage, this is just another experience you two have had together.
She's the head coach on the book.
You are an awesome opportunity to work together, though, a collaborative effort.
Well, then, as someone who's taking instruction again, Tony, what kind of coach is she?
She's very good. Was an elementary school teacher, relates to the kids really well. And we would talk about different, is this the best way to say this? How can we get this message across? She's got a great handle on that.
Do you think, Lauren, are kids reading enough today? I'm 25 years married, not quite as long as you
All
guys,
right.
And I've got a 20-year-old daughter, only one, not the numbers that you guys put up. But I think I did okay. She's graduated from college. She's got a job that she enjoys. She's a well-rounded kid. She's a happy kid. So I think I did okay, but I was poking and hoping like everybody else. You guys had all this experience, and now you want to share it, and you can do so through these books with kids. Because I don't have any youngsters, I'm now out of that mix. But I wonder about kids in 2018 because everything is so technology-driven. Mm-hmm. It's all about the phone. It's all about the tablet. And you can get a nice little Kindle, and you can do some pretty good reading, but How much do you think the importance of reading still needs to be emphasized with our youngsters?
Well, you're absolutely correct that there are so many distractions kids can divert their attention to and get away from reading. So that's one of the reasons why we wrote, because we wanted to get children to fall back in love with reading, to have that passion to read. And you know, when you read, it and open doors to anything in life, but you have to have those reading skills. It's critical to anything that you do. And unfortunately, our kids are not reading like they should. So we hope that they will. We work hard at it. We have to be intentional with our kids to, you know, sit them down and read. And there's so many great lessons that come out of reading with your children. And you have to model that as well. So Tony and I read and independently. But we let the kids see that, and it's important.
Lauren and Tony Dungy are guests here in studio. They've got a series of books for youngsters coming out. They'll be doing a signing here in New York tomorrow. We'll give you details on that in just a second. Following up what she said about you need to set an example that you're a reader, she's a reader, and for the youngsters out there, if mom and dad are reading, well, this reading thing might be okay. Maybe
yes.
I'll pick up a book as well. I just, coming to New York, I train it in every day. And that's the thing that I love about the train is it's downtime. You can pick up a book, you can read, you
Absolutely.
Can get away from it, you can put the phone away. You can just sit there and enjoy and read. What are you reading these days?
I'm probably reading my Bible more than anything else. That's the thing that I get to when I want to
get
that.
Does it ever change? Do you know, interpretations?
The words don't change, but the experiences you have and what you're going through is a little different. You say, oh, I never saw it that way before.
Okay.
So, yeah, it does. It's exciting.
Lauren, what are you reading these days?
I'm guilty of reading more than one book at a time.
Okay.
So I love reading my Bible. I read that every day. And I'm also reading a book called Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis.
Girl,
Wash Your Face. It's kind of in your face type story, but it encourages you and motivates you to get going and stop sitting around and complaining about things.
I like it. Outstanding. Coach, trying to affect young men who are going to pick up these books and read them. Part of it is you want to point out what sports can do in addition to reading and maybe make it an entree into the world of sports for 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds. Did that come easy for you or was it difficult?
No, it was pretty easy, and that was the setting. First of all, we wanted diversity in the book, so we said we're going to have a sports team. That way we can have people from all walks of life. But then we said we can teach life lessons. So kids who are interested in sports, like I was as a young boy, hey, I'll read something about sports. Okay, I get the sports story, but then I get the lesson behind it. Hey, I've got to have integrity in my life. I've got to do the right things. I do need to get out of my comfort zone. I do need to forgive my teammate who may have hurt my feelings. So we could get lessons across that they're getting while they're reading about their favorite sport.
When you have your book signing coming up tomorrow, it is?
Thursday. NFL Experience, yeah.
At the NFL Experience. He's probably signed a couple things in his life, seeing as he's a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl winning coach and all of that. You new to this game? You have you been working on your penmanship, fancy signature?
As an ex-school teacher and educator, I think my penmanship is pretty good. But I can't wait to see the fans and meet them and just share our books with them. So and look forward to it.
What time are you guys going to be at the NFL
Experience? It's 11 o'clock on Thursday at the NFL Experience.
Yeah, I know we're going to have some kids from the Boys and Girls Club there, but everybody's welcome. If you have kids, if you just want to come out and sign, get the book signed, we'll do that too. But it should be a lot of fun.
It's something that if you are going to be in the city, you need to look into. Lauren, can I bother your
husband
for a couple of NFL questions here? All right, Mr. Hall of Fame coach.
All right.
How'd this past weekend go for you?
It was great. It really was. My second year back since I've been inducted, you get to see your old friends again, reconnect. You watch the new guys come in and see them go through the same thing that you went through. Just, wow, this is fantastic. So it was a lot of fun.
Okay. As a analyst for NBC on Sunday Night Football, I expect you to answer the question as an analyst.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you to answer off the record or whatever
else. This is on the record.
This is on the record as an NBC analyst just sitting here in the FAN studios. What was the feeling like about T.O. being the first player ever to decide not to show up for a Hall of Fame induction?
Most of the there's about 140 guys that came back. Most of them felt sorry for him because we felt like he doesn't understand what he missed. He may have said it doesn't make any difference to him, but his family, Lauren and I were talking about it. Our family get together at that event was so great, the reunion. My high school coach was there. My high school teammates, college teammates, fans, those people will not get to experience that. And it's something that you can't duplicate. So we just felt sorry that he allowed that to interfere with his friends and family celebrating.
We're going to have David Baker on later this hour, as a matter of fact, the president of the Hall of Fame, who you dealt with when you were elected last year. The fact that T.O. decided not to show up, he questioned the process of the Hall of Fame voters, the process that the selectors use. You got in as a coach, was a little bit different than a player. It seems that, and we're going to get David to confirm this, I talked to an NFL, one of the voters, Gary Myers, over the weekend, and he said, we were told that we're allowed to analyze a player's behavior when it comes directly connected to a team, when you're in the locker room, how you handle your business with your teammates, and are you a deterrent to the team. Off-field stuff, they say they don't look at. That is something that they just want to keep it in a football-focused mm-hmm. thing. Do you agree with that standard? Do you think that it should be just, your character should just be judged when you're around the football team, either on game day or prior to or practice during the week and the like? Or should you be, if you're given the biggest honor that someone can be given in your sport, shouldn't you be above board 24/7?
I was told my players when I was coaching, it's not just on the field. And, yes, we're supposed to win, and we're supposed to win Super Bowls, but if we don't set the right tone off the field, and I got that from Art Rooney and Chuck Knoll. That's who, you know, brought me into the National Football League. So I think that applies. your job as a National Football League player is to play, but it's more than that. So I totally agree that with you that it should be everything.
I think so. All right, Coach, we've got a bunch of quarterbacks who were taken here in the first round this year, some of which may start week one, some of which may start during the season, some of which may go redshirt and an apprenticeship and not play till down the road. You were with a bunch of different teams, first as an assistant, then as a head coach. I'm sure you had highly drafted quarterbacks and saw both work and or both not work. Go to them quickly or give them the downtime and give them the chance to develop. Did you ever have a strong opinion on which, in a very general sense, which is better, throw them in the deep end of the pool or put them in the shallow end, let them slowly move down pool?
Well, the best thing for the player is to play. That's how you get
That's
better
what I said.
And you improve. The Colts drafted Peyton Manning. They put him in the lineup. He played the whole season. He threw 26 interceptions his first year. They only won 3 games. But that was a great learning experience for him. Now, that isn't always the best thing for the coach or the team. The team is trying to win games. But I think you've got to balance that as a coach. So if you're trying to win games like the Cleveland Browns are, hey, we might have to sit this quarterback for a while so we can win a little bit. If you're trying to just say, hey, this is our franchise quarterback, put him in there, let him play.
Okay, so it comes down to a decision across the board in the organization.
Has to decide what we're really trying to do here.
And knowing full well, there we grow in pains if you're going to start someone
a young quarterback.
Week one in the National Football League. All right, Coach, know you talked about this last year a lot on NBC, and I'm sure you're going to have to deal with it again this year. The players protest for social injustice.
Yeah.
It takes its form during the national anthem, which some people, yours truly included, have a problem with. I want the players to have their voice. I want them to be able to take their stances, but I do believe there's a time and a place for everything. It's gotten so contentious. It's gotten involved with the guy at 1600 Avenue, Pennsylvania Avenue as well, which I think is unfortunate. I think the NFL just dropped the football recently in that they had an idea. They put it in place. They tried to come up with a compromise. The first owner that took a really strong stance, they said, well, never mind the plan we had. We'll throw that out. We'll start from scratch again.
Right.
Let's meet and redo this and the like. Why has this been such a, like, just a football that nobody can seem to get their grasp on?
They haven't worked together on it, and that, to me, is the problem. I thought for a long time, if I was coaching, what would I do? And you're exactly right. We want the players to have a voice. We talk about being a good citizen. Some of these guys are saying, I want to speak for the people in my community that don't have a voice. Here's what I would do if I were coaching. I would go to my team, have a meeting, and say, we're not going to use the 3 minutes before the game during the national anthem to get your point out when nobody knows exactly what it is. I'm going to give you 15 minutes of every press conference that I have if you want it. When all the media is there, come to me and we'll let you go. Talk about what you're upset about. Talk about the problems. Talk about your possible solutions. But let's do it in the media when everybody can listen and not do it in the 3 minutes during the national anthem that's going to offend people.
I like it. I think it's a very good compromise position. Oh, by the way, I didn't necessarily dislike the NFL's idea because I thought it was an attempt at compromise. And I think that's what we have to do. I didn't like the fact that they basically packed it in as quickly as they did. They should have stuck to their guns.
And give the players a chance. Okay, you want to exercise your voice. Let's give you an opportunity to do that in a forum that people are going to listen to what you have to say and not just say, oh, it shouldn't be done during this time.
What would you say if you presented this to your team and you believed in it? And like I said, I think it's a pretty good compromise position. If the majority of the players said, Coach, thanks, but no, that it's not a big enough stage.
I don't think they would, because I think it would be a big stage and they would have the media access that they want, and they'd be able to say exactly what's on their mind. And first of all, I'd say, now, don't kneel if you don't want to come on and say what's on your mind and what your thoughts are and what your possible solutions are. Don't just go out there and kneel. Take this opportunity to voice your opinion.
Now, you're in the Hall of Fame because of your coaching accomplishments. The coach has to walk a fine line at all times because he needs to be an authoritarian figure with the players, but he also needs to be a friend to the players. He has to be an emboldener to the players. But the bottom line is he's an employee of the owner, just like the players are. So you have to walk that line between ownership and the players. This is a tough issue for coaches. I've not really heard all that many coaches comment on it. It's all about what the players think and what the owners think. Should coaches be taking harder line stances? Should they be more involved in the discussion process with the media and the like, so that we're hearing from another party and kind of a party in the middle who might be able to see both sides?
Well, and that's the key. Everybody needs to work together. And to me, that's what the coaches should be doing, trying to bring the owners and the players together. And what can we do that's a solution that helps everybody, that helps the players get their voice out, but also protects the owner's side of it? And working together is the thing that needs to be done. And in my opinion, what the NFL and the players haven't done is work together.
Tony Dungy in studio with us, Hall of Fame coach, NBC analyst. His wife, Lauren, is kind enough to let me monopolize her husband for another couple of minutes here. She's in studio with us as well. Here's a tricky question for you. Along those lines, we were just discussing coaches could be a nice bridge in the middle. What coach, NFL, right now, 32 guys, would be best suited to do that?
I think all of them can do it. Bill Belichick.
You
got to
pick one. You got to put them in order. Somebody's first and somebody's 32nd. Who's number one?
Bill Belichick, because he has no – there's no way he's going to get lose his job or have
That's
any repercussions.
True. That's very
and
true.
And if he says, hey, we need to come together and work on – he and I, as a matter of fact, I got in trouble a few years ago when I was coaching ABC was doing Monday Night Football at the time. They showed Terrell Owens, as a matter of fact, in the locker room with the cheerleaders. That was their opening. And I had a 10-year-old son at the time, and I said, I don't think this is an appropriate opening for Monday Night Football when we've got kids watching.
I remember.
Everybody blasted me. And Bill Belichick came out and said, hey, I'm willing to give back part of my salary if it means we don't have to do commercials like this, because this isn't appropriate for young people. And he has the clout and the – what do you say, the cachet, that he doesn't have to worry about any backlash. And I think he could be very good at bringing people together.
Coach Belichick certainly does have cachet. All right, last football question for you, Coach. Sports axioms and the like come up because they're based on a lot of truth oftentimes. Something becomes cliche because it's been proven to be cliche and accurate. One that I've always kind of tapped into is, well, you got to beat the champ to beat the champ. Are the Philadelphia Eagles worthy of that title that, hey, they should start the year as the favorite because they are the defending champions and did what they did last year?
I think you always go that route, and I had the pleasure of covering the Eagles leading up to the Super Bowl for NBC last year. They've got a tremendous sense of team spirit, and they're good. We may not recognize that yet, but they've got a good team. Everybody's going to be shooting at them this year, but to me, that's the standard right now. You got to come and take the Eagles down.
Tony and Lauren doing the book signing NFL experience. That's in Times Square on Thursday, 11 o'clock. If you need more details, TeamDungy.com. Yeah. What are they going to find when they go on TeamDungy.com, Lauren?
They're going to get all kinds of information about the books and about opportunities to get involved. And one that I know every child would love that opportunity is to be a character in our next book. They can be featured as one of the main characters. So they need to tell their parents to sign them up. TeamDungy.com has all the information, all the details, and they can be featured as a character in one of our books coming
out.
And
another thing, Jody, they can find out on TeamDungy.com. Amazon is now sold out of these books
right now as we speak.
Yes. So they can find other avenues to go to order them today.
Get the orders in at TeamDungy.com. I want to thank you both very much for coming in here today. If I had a wager to make, my bet would be, yes, she's got better penmanship than you. And on Thursday, if I were in line and I could only get one of the two to sign, I would go to Lauren, but that's just me. Guys, thank you both very much
for
coming
in.
Thank you.
Best of luck with the books.
Thank you.
Awesome.